Most of us don't grow up dreaming of being a tiny gear in some big, impersonal mechanism. But for Rich Hawkins, destiny started coming into focus on the day when, as a kid, the first family television showed up.
I was so kind of excited by the new TV set that I snuck out, and the living room was dark and everybody was watching, and I'm peering over the shoulder of adults on the couch, and they were watching a war movie. And I must have gotten scared, because the next thing I remember is being in my bed with the covers over my head, thinking how unfair it was that God had made me a boy, because I would have to grow up and do what I'd seen, the explosions and the mud and the pain and all.
The idea of war never excited Rich the way it might have for other boys, his friends playing army in the woods. To him, it just seemed like what boys did. Boys go off to combat. By the time he was in college, the Vietnam War had escalated. Rich opposed the war, but then he found out his student deferment was about to disappear, and he was left facing the draft. So instead, he decided to just enlist in hopes of getting a better job.
And I ended up as a, I guess they called it a combat correspondent, although it's a pretty glorified term. I was more like a public relations guy for the Army, but I was on the ground in Vietnam with the 1st Air Cav Division.
While Rich had gone through basic training, his role was supposed to be documenting the war, not fighting it. But around Thanksgiving in 1967, Rich found himself right in the middle of the storm.
One of the three battalions that I covered got moved quickly up into an area north of Con Tum. Dak To is the central village, where the 173rd Airborne Brigade had run into regular NVA forces. Big fight. And one of my battalions was called to support, and I heard about it, caught a plane up there, and managed to get out with one of the line units the day after they had tried to take a hill and had taken some casualties and fallen back. And they were going to go up again, and I was going to go with them. So I'd never experienced an airstrike before, and I wasn't really trained for a lot of things like that. And we crawled into an artillery shell crater for cover, and these two Navy Phantom jets appeared in the sky, and one of them peeled off and came zooming in overhead, and these big black eggs fell out of its wings and cracked into the ground about 500 yards up the hillside from us. And this incredible explosion. I'd never experienced anything like this. It was too loud. And then the shrapnel tearing off limbs of the trees overhead, and it was just left and right. The shock wave lifted me off the ground, maybe an umpteenth of a millimeter, but I lost all physical contact with the earth, which was my safety. Then the second plane comes in, and the second set of 500-pounders go sailing into the hill, and another blast. And then, this is what really surprised me. A sergeant down the line somewhere yells, "Move out!" And like every other GI on that hill, to my great surprise, I stood up and started walking up that hill with everybody else, prepared to live, to die, or even, I don't know what I expected, but I didn't expect to ever do that. And I must have been afraid, although I wasn't aware of being afraid. I was just aware, really aware, because I left my body. I was like, I was scared out of my skin, and I'm about 10 feet above myself, watching myself walk up the hill. And the thing that's probably most remarkable about this is that it was the most peaceful place I have ever been in my life, before or since. Absolute peace. That's what I experienced, and that's what I remember, is being outside my body and watching myself walk up that hill, and how peaceful that was. But I could see, I could imagine, I could think when I was there. I could see my body imagine, I guess you could say, my body collapsing with my head falling off like one of those tree limbs had been severed earlier. And how that boy that I was, that young man, I should say, that soldier, was really someone who was against this war, thought it was stupid. And yet, the system works. It turned that kid into a young man who was a soldier, who was willing to kill or die for a cause he did not believe in. How amazing, how effective everything is. Be a good boy, say that Pledge of Allegiance, do all this stuff, and look what happens. Wow, isn't that remarkable how effective the system is? But somehow, suddenly I'm back in my body and tripping over fallen trees and whatnot and stumbling up the hill with everybody else. And the good news is the North Vietnamese had the sense to leave the hilltop during the night, and we never encountered any hostile fire. But I was scared out of my skin, and I've since thought that this was perhaps the most important thing that ever happened to me in my life.
When Rich had the realization of how the system works, and how it had worked on him for a long time without him knowing it, his first reaction wasn't anger, or resentment, or shame, but wonder.
That was like amazement. Wow, this is, look how effective this thing is, you know. I think I may have been angry deeply inside when I got out of the army. I didn't come home. I stayed in Europe and traveled around in Eastern Europe trying to understand the socialist world that had been my supposed enemy. The thing that I noticed early on was a lot of guys thought the war was really stupid, and you heard these comments about what a waste of time and energy and life and blood and resources this was to be in this war. But you never heard that in the frontline troops who were out there day after day looking for the enemy, or knowing the enemy was looking for them. As soon as you got back from the line troops into the rear, you'd hear that. But you never heard anybody question the rightness of the war if they were out there risking their lives, obviously, moment to moment. And I wondered, why is that? My conclusion is that if you're putting your life on the line and willing to kill someone else, and that cause that you're doing it for is something you don't believe in, that's just too damaging to the self, to the idea of who you are. That's too hard to live with. At the time, you know, the term PTSD wasn't a big part of our vocabulary. But most of the GIs who died here at home. We had more deaths among Vietnam veterans from suicide and single car accidents and drug overdoses and all of that than there were killed in combat. If you're just playing your part in a big system, you know, you're just a cog in the machine, it's the machine's fault, not yours. But if you're out there, it's just too hard to live with that idea. I'm still ashamed that I let myself be part of that.
Rich Hawkins is a teacher and actor in Seattle.